Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 29 in our study of the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We started our study with the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is depicted as the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And in his course of ministry, Jesus takes a path of rejection, and he purposefully he heads towards Jerusalem, where ultimately, according to his Father's will, he will be crucified and resurrected on the third day. In the last lessons, we saw that Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem, and one of the first things that he does is that he cleanses the temple, and he encounters the religious Jews in Jerusalem. We see that Jesus is tested. In fact, there are a lot of religious Jews in the hierarchy who are not willing to accept the teachings of Jesus. So they encounter him, hoping to snare him by his words and put him down. And we see that Jesus is being tested by different kinds of people. In the last lesson, which is lesson number 28, we saw how Jesus was tested by the chief priests and the elders concerning his authority, where they questioned his authority. And in answering to that testing, Jesus gave out three different parables, and we saw in that. And after that, we see that again he is being tested by three other different kinds of religious people. The first one, he's tested by the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians concerning giving tribute to Caesar. That we see in chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. The second thing is that Jesus is tested by the Sadducees concerning resurrection. That we see in Matthew chapter 22, verse 23 to 33. The third time, he is being tested by a lawyer concerning the great commandment of the law, and that we read in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Not only that Jesus was able to answer all the questions with great amount of wisdom and poise, but then we see that at the end of it, Jesus counteracts the testings of the different people by asking them the key question, which they could not answer, and which really shut their mouths up. So that is what we are going to look today in our lessons. We are going to look at the three testings that Jesus underwent while he was in Jerusalem, and then we will see how Jesus counteracts his tormentors or the religious folks with a question of his own, and that way he temporarily he shut them so that they could not come and test him anymore with different difficult questions. So let us start our lesson today with Matthew chapter 22 and verses 15 onwards. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15 onwards. From verses 15 to verses 22, Jesus is being tested by the Pharisees and the Herodians concerning giving tribute to Caesar. Verse number 15, Matthew 22, verse number 15. Then the Pharisees went and took counsel how they might ensnare him in his words. We see here a group called the Pharisees. Now, who were the Pharisees? If you study the scriptures, the Pharisees were the strictest religious sect of the Jews. We read about them in Acts chapter 26 and verse number 5. This sect was formed about 200 BC. They were proud of their superior religious living, their devotion to God, and their knowledge of the scriptures. But actually, they had degraded into a lot of pretension and hypocrisy. So the Pharisees, they went, when they heard all the different parables that Jesus had spoken to the people, they went, it says they took counsel of how they might ensnare him in his words, how they might be able to trap him in his words, and that is their motive. And verse number 16, and they sent to him the disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and that you teach the way of God in truth, and do not fear anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Now it says that they sent to him the disciples with the Herodians. Now, who are the Herodians? It says here, we understand that the Herodians were actually those who took the sides with King Herod's regime and took part with him in infiltrating the Grecian and the Roman manners of life into the Jewish culture. So they sided with the Sadducees and were opposed to the Pharisees. But in this particular passage, we see that they are united with the Pharisees to trap the Lord Jesus in his words. So these Herodians joined with the disciples, the Pharisees, the disciples of the Pharisees. They come to Jesus and say, Teacher, we know that you are true and that you teach the way of God in truth, and do not fear anyone, which means it does not matter to you concerning anyone. You don't care about anyone. For you do not regard the person of men, or you do not look into the face of men. So very innocently they come to Jesus with a flattery and say, telling him that number one, you are true. Number two, you teach the way of God in truth. Number three, you do not regard, it does not matter to you concerning anyone, or you do not fear anyone. And four, you do not regard the face of men, or you do not look at the face of men. Four compliments they give to Jesus as they bring to him the question. Verse number 17, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now, after flattering him with four different kinds of good things that they had to speak about Jesus, they come to him with a question, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now this was really a very tricky question. Why? Because giving tribute to Caesar was opposed by all of the Jews. So if the Lord Jesus had said that it is lawful to do this, he would have offended all the Jews whose leaders were the Pharisees. Now, if he had said that it was not lawful to give tribute to Caesar, the Herodians who stood with the Roman government would have strong ground to accuse him. So that is why the Pharisees came with the Herodians, people who are in diametrically opposite point of view, and concerning this particular question, and they come to Jesus and tries to put him on a trap. Verse number 18. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, why do you tempt me, hypocrites? Jesus, who is the Lord, could see their evil intent, and it says in the word of God that he knew, knowing their evil intent, their outward form and words were flattering and were things that were supposedly, they were trying to say that he was good, but Jesus could look and pierce deep into their hearts and he could see the evil intention that they had. And he said, "Why do you tempt me, hypocrites?" Now in those days, the hypocrites, if you examine, in those days the hypocrite would is like a stage actor, like an impersonator. So it was the custom for the Greek and the Roman actors to wear large masks with mechanical devices that increase the force of their voices. And so it was, they were acting, they were hypocrites, and that is how Jesus could truly see their colors and say that they were hypocrites, because it was not out of their heart, but they were trying to trap him. Verse number 19, "Show me the coin for the tribute." And they brought to him a denarius. Now, what is a denarius? A denarius is the chief silver coin of the Roman government, and it was considered a good pay for a whole day's labor. And we see that in Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 2 about that. So Jesus said, "Show me a denarius." And he said to them, "Whose is this image and inscription?" They said, "Caesar's." And then he said to them, "Render then the things that are Caesar's to Caesar, and the things that are God's to God's." Very, very much astounding, really a good answer that Jesus gives. But then we understand here, in verse number 19, he says, "Show me the coin for the tribute." And they brought to him a denarius. So the Lord Jesus did not show the Roman coin by himself, but he asked them to show one to him. And since they possessed one of those Roman coins, they were caught and they brought the coin to Jesus. And we see that here it says that whose is this image and inscription in this denarius, and it was that of Caesar's. And then he said, "Render then the things that are Caesar's to Caesar, and the things that are God's to God." That is, to pay tribute to Caesar according to the government regulation. But then at the same time, they should also pay the half shekel to God according to Exodus chapter 30 verses 11 to 16. And to offer all the tithes to God according to the law of God. So Jesus was very profound in his answer. He said that you need to, since you are under the Roman government, you need to be subject to their laws. So you need to pay tribute to Caesar according to the government regulations. But at the same time, you should also pay the half shekel to God according to his law, and offer up the tithes to God according to the law of God. Verse number 22, "And when they heard this, they marveled," or they were astonished, "and they left him and went away." When the Pharisees and the Herodians heard this answer from Jesus, they were astonished. They were totally dumbfounded. They didn't know what to do. And so it says that they left him and went away. So they purposely came to Jesus to tempt him, to test him. And when they failed, they left him, exactly like Satan did. We know in Matthew chapter 4 verse 11 that after the temptation, after the devil or Satan came to Jesus to tempt him, and when Jesus answered all the temptations through the word of God, it says that the devil left him and went away. And exactly as the children of the devil, the Pharisees and the Herodians, after they tempted Jesus or tested Jesus, they left him and went away for a short time. So this is the first testing that Jesus or I should say the second testing that Jesus underwent in Jerusalem. The third testing that we see is by he's tested by the Sadducees concerning resurrection, and this we see chapter 22 in verses 23 to 33. On that day, verse number 23, on that day some Sadducees who say that there is no resurrection came to him and questioned him. Now, who were the Sadducees? The Sadducees were another sect within Judaism. We read about them in Acts chapter 5 verse 17. They did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in angels. And they did not believe in spirits. Both the Pharisees and the Sadducees were denounced as a brood of vipers by John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus in different occasions. The Lord Jesus warned his disciples also against the doctrines. We see in Matthew 16 verses 6 and 12. While the Pharisees were considered orthodox, the Sadducees were the ancient modernists. So these were the Sadducees, another group, who say that there is no resurrection. They came to him and they questioned him. Teacher, Moses said, if anyone dies and does not have children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up seed to his brother. Now there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no seed, he left his wife to his brother. Likewise also the second and the third until the seventh, and last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection then, whose wife will she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said to them, you err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. Now, they bring about a story to Jesus. Because they believe that there is no resurrection, they want to question him concerning this very point and see what is the stand that Jesus is taking towards resurrection. So they bring about a story about a man who marries a woman, and the man dies, and the woman, according to the Levitical laws, his brothers, seven brothers, one after the other, they married her, but all of them died. So the question is that whose wife will she be of the resurrection? Which of the seven? Because they all had her as their wives. And in verse number 29, Jesus answered their story and their question and says, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. Now, knowing the scriptures is one thing, and knowing the power of God is another. As children of God, we need to know both. The scriptures here refer to the Old Testament verses that concerns the matter of resurrection. And the power of God refers to the power of resurrection. So when Jesus said, you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God, it means that you do not know the scriptures concerning resurrection, nor do you know the power of God, which is through the power of resurrection. Verse number 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have we not read that was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So Jesus answers and says that once you die, you are not given in marriage in heaven, which means that in heaven you are not like husbands and wives, but everyone are like angels in heaven. And regarding the resurrection, he speaks that God tells about himself, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. So what does it mean? As God is the God of the living, is called the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, so the dead Abraham, Isaac and Jacob will be resurrected. This is the way the Lord Jesus expounded the scriptures, not only according to the letter, but also according to the life and the power that is implied upon them, that they all will be resurrected. And this is the resurrection power. And he is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. Verse number 33, and when the crowds heard this, they were astounded at his teaching. Every time Jesus opened and replied or taught, it says that the people who heard, they were marveled. They were astonished at the depth of wisdom that Jesus had. And truly, there was nothing that the Sadducees could say as a reply to this. And so, we see that they are silent for a while. The third testing that we see starts from verse number 34 to verse number 40, where a lawyer is testing Jesus concerning the great commandment in the law. Verse number 34. But the Pharisees, when they heard that he had muscled the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asks him a question, testing him. So the Pharisees, they rally back here when they saw that Jesus has silenced the Sadducees. They rally back, and then one of them, who is a lawyer, asks him a question. Who was a lawyer in those times? A lawyer is the one who was knowledgeable in the law of Moses, which means a lawyer is a professional interpreter of the law of the Old Testament. He was the expert of the law of the Old Testament, and that is why he is referred to as a lawyer, a man who is expert in the law of Moses. He asked him a question. It says testing him. Again, this is all not genuine questions to know what is it, but they are all asking questions to Jesus in order to test him. And verse number 36, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest, the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, the great commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great command. And the second is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So both commandments, the commandment to love God and the commandment to love man, are a matter of love. So love is the spirit of God's commandments. And this is what, as children of God, we need to understand. That the greatest commandment that Jesus has given to the New Testament believers, or the children of the kingdom of heavens, is also what is referred to as a new commandment. That you shall love one another as I have loved you. Number one, that we need to love God with all of our being. And number two, we should love others as Christ has loved us. And this is what we as the children of God have to do. finally, here we see in the last part of this chapter 22, verse number 41 onwards, Jesus is counteracting all the people who tested him. And he is shutting up their mouth with a question of his own. So verse number 41, it says, "Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them." So the Pharisees were there and all the others were there. Jesus questions these people who themselves pride as being the teachers of the law and the people who know everything. Jesus questions them. Verse number 42, saying, "What do you think concerning Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said to him, "David's." What do you think concerning Christ? Now, when we understand here in the passages, as we see from chapter 21 verse 23 to chapter 22 verse number 46, during his last visit to Jerusalem, the center of Judaism, Jesus Christ is surrounded by chief priests, elders, Pharisees, Herodians and Sadducees, along with a lawyer, all who tried to trap him by asking puzzling and in fact very troubling questions. First of all, the chief priests representing the authority of the Jewish religion and the elders representing the authority of the Jewish people ask him concerning his authority. So there the chief priest who represents the authority of the Jewish religion and the elders who is representing the authority of the Jewish people, they ask him concerning his authority. So this question was according to their religious concept. Second, we see that the Pharisees, the fundamentalists and the Herodians who were zealous in politics, ask him a question relating to politics. Thirdly, we see that the Sadducees, who are the modernists, they question him concerning the fundamental belief of resurrection. And fourthly, we see that as a self-approved lawyer, he asks him a question concerning the law. So after answering all their questions wisely, Jesus in turn asked them a question concerning Christ. This is the question of all questions. Their questions was related to religion, politics, belief and law. But Jesus' question was concerning Christ, who is the center of all things. Now they knew religion, politics, belief and law, but they paid no attention to Christ. That is why he asked them, "What do you think concerning Christ?" This is a question that must be answered by everyone. Verse number 23. He said then, "How does David in spirit?" Because when Jesus asked them concerning Christ, they say, "Who is he? Whose son is he?" And they say, "He is the son of David." And Jesus says, "How then David in spirit called him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies underneath your feet.'" So here it says that how does David in the spirit can call him Lord? So Christ can only be known by us only in our spirit through God's revelation. That is the only way we can know Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3 verses 2 to 5 we see that the dispensation of the grace of God has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us concerning Christ. And that is how it says, Jesus said, "How then David in spirit call him Lord?" And the Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies underneath your feet." This is a passage that Jesus quoted from Psalms 110 verse number 1. where indeed David has spoken that one particular sentence. It says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies underneath your feet." If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? That is verse number 45. So Christ is God in his divinity. He is the Lord of David. He is also a man, so in his humanity, he is the son of David. The Pharisees had only half the scriptural knowledge concerning the person of Christ, that he is a man and he was the son of David according to his humanity. But they did not have the revelation of the other half, that is, Jesus Christ was the Son of God according to his divinity. And that is why they could not. It says verse number 46, "And no one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone from that day dare to question him anymore." So when Jesus Christ asked this question to them, because they could not really understand the other side, that where the divinity of Christ as the Son of God and as the Lord of David, they could not understand that aspect. And it says that no one was able to answer him, and not even a word. And from that day, no one dared to ask, question him anymore. And that puts to an end all the testings that this religious Jews brought before Jesus, because when he asked them the question, the key question, they could not answer him. And all their questions, Jesus could really give out good answers, and he took those questions as a way to teach people concerning the way of God. This brings us to the conclusion of lesson number 29. And there are many things that we have understood from these lessons, that no matter how much we know in our head, but truly we need to know Christ. When we come to Christ, our intentions should be pure. And the greatest commandment that God has instituted for us is to love God, number one, above everything else, with all of our faculty, and number two is to love others. Love God and love man. Everything hinges, our whole life hinges on love, and that is what we need to reflect in our daily life, in our talks and our action. I pray that you as a listener may be able to understand this, and I pray that you may be able to truly follow Christ, not only in letter and word, but in spirit as well. I pray the Lord may bless you. And we will conclude this lesson now. And the next lesson, lesson number 30, we will see how Jesus speaks about many things concerning the religion of that day. May the Lord bless you with this word.